I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, but every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. The Gospel of our Lord. We invite you to be seated, and we also invite the children to follow Renata and to go out for our Word for Children time. Let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for gathering us here today to be with you in your presence and to hear your word for us. Open each of our hearts, our minds, so that we may hear the word that you want to speak to us, and so that we may be transformed and reformed into your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is the day in which we are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. This is our day to celebrate, especially as Lutherans. But the challenge is when you're celebrating an anniversary like this, the temptation is to look back, as if the Reformation was something that happened 500 years ago, led by some other people. And to forget that Reformation is really an ongoing process. For until we are a church that perfectly reflects the image of God because we are in union with Christ, we are still a reforming church. So the question on this 500th anniversary of the Reformation is really not what was the Reformation about, but rather the question is how are we being called to be reforming today? Now Luther, when he was the reformer of his age, he was faced with the challenge of the Black Plague ravaging Europe. He was faced with the challenge that was being posed by an authoritarian church structure that was increasingly self-serving. And he was also facing a theology of salvation by merit that was combined with the loophole of indulgences into a giant fundraising scheme on the backs of the poor to build St. Peter's Basilica. And it was in this context that Luther returned to the gospel of grace, and he also focused on how grace applies to us as individuals. And as people were dying around him, he focused on how this grace brings us salvation after we die. It was out of this sense of God's love and grace and meeting the challenges of his day that he pounded his theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. So for us to be a reforming church today, we have to ask the questions of how has the church been failing today? And what are the questions of our day and of our age that are calling us to reform and to proclaim the gospel again in new ways? So the question is, what are the questions of our age? Are the questions of our age being raised by the fact that there are hurricanes after hurricanes and typhoons striking the land with increasing force? Is it the question being raised by great forest fires raging like they never have before, while the World Health Organization has declared pollution as one of the leading causes of death in our world now? Or is it the questions being raised by the fact that we are materially wealthy unlike anyone who has ever lived before, and yet instead of comfort, we live in an age in which mental health has become an epidemic in our communities? It's as if the latest iPhone or the numbers in our bank account actually don't make us happy or give us purpose. Or perhaps it's the questions being raised by the fact that we can now look out into the cosmos and be filled with wonder at its beauty and its incredibly elegant balance that makes this all work and allows our life to flourish. For me recently, it has been the questions that have been raised by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The questions being raised by how we even treated the indigenous people of our lands. That I think gets to the heart of how our church has failed. But then also how God is calling us to be reformed, to answer not just this, but all of these questions. And the heart of this was actually captured for me. I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago on reconciliation. And one of the leaders there quoted an elder, and I want to share this quote with you. This elder had said, "Originally, all people were connected to the spirit of their land. And it was the women who held this connection between spirit and the land and the people. But something happened to you whites. You somehow became cut off from the spirit and you attacked the very people, the women, who held this connection to the sacred and to the spirit. And then you went all around this world spreading this disconnection from spirit. And do you know what? When we become disconnected from spirit, when we are no longer able to honor the sacredness and the spirit in animals, that's what leads to extinction. When you're no longer able to honor the spirit of water, that is why our waters become poisoned. So if we are to heal the world, we must again learn to reconnect and honor the spirit that is within this world." When I heard this, there was a chill that went down my spine, because this spoke to the reality that I had seen when I was serving as a pastor, when I was working for our bishop, and when I now work as an organizer. I am often amazed by how disconnected from spirit that we in the West have become. And it's actually not just me. When they've done surveys about church health throughout North America, guess what comes up as the major sign of disease or ill health within the church? It is that we are increasingly disconnected from a passionate spirituality. And this actually makes me think about our ecological challenges. You know, when Luther began his Reformation, he came out of a place where recognizing that God was a God of profound love and profound grace. But because he was focused on personal salvation and also all these people dying all around him, that it became a question of individual salvation and how you get into heaven. But the reality in our scripture is, where does the story of grace really begin? It actually begins with creation. For as the Gospel of John proclaims, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God."
And all things come into being through God. Our challenge in this age is realizing that the story of grace begins at the very beginning. It is all grace. I think this is our question. How do we once again learn to look out into the world and to see God's goodness all around us? To see the sacredness of trees because they are an expression of God's love. To again see the mountains as proclaiming the greatness of God and to rejoice in the oceans because they are filled with God. How do we again go back to the story of creation and again hear that it was the wind, the Spirit of God, that moved over the water, the symbol of creation and the creating God? And it was the Word of God, God's wisdom, that gave life to creation, that allowed our life to flourish, so everything we are is an expression of God. How do we again hear this litany we hear in the story of creation where God says, it was good, it was good, it was good. At the end says, it was very good. There was the German mystic, Meister Eckhart, who reminded us that all things are filled with God's presence because all things depend on God. We depend on the radical generosity of God in all things, and this is why all things are sacred. How do we again return to the sense of God's graciousness and love? How do we again have a morality that actually recognizes the sacredness in all things so that we live out of it? Perhaps I think this might be the challenge of the Reformation today. You know, this quote that I quoted for you also makes me think about the significance of our life and why so many people struggle with the significance and purpose in our lives. And especially how it points to how we look at and treat women. And of course, within our scripture, who is the symbol for women? It is Mary. So perhaps we need to think again about this figure of Mary. Did you know that in the early church, the debate about Mary was not about whether she was a virgin or not? To be honest, anyone who was anybody at that time claimed that they were born of a virgin. It was actually, if anything more, it was a jab at the Emperor Augustine, who claimed the same thing. Now, do you know what they actually debated about? It was whether Mary could be called the Theotokos, which is the mother of God. So why was this so significant? It was this question of, could God be formed within a human being? Could God enter into the world through a human being, and not just any human being, but a woman? Can the greatness and Spirit of God be so intricately connected with creation and the flesh? And do you know what the decision of the early church was? That Mary's proper title is the Theotokos, the Mother of God. This is the significance of your lives, of our lives. You are intended to be the ones within whom God is formed, through whom God enters the world, through whom salvation continues to be brought into the world. This is actually the story of our gospel. It's the story that comes out at Christmas time, when Mary gives birth to Jesus. It's the story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, that is God, comes down and dwells where? within us and amongst us. And it is the story of Easter, where God demonstrates that God is able to overcome any barriers, that God comes within our suffering, that God comes to those that the world rejects. And God is with us, and God transforms us. This is what our lives are intended to be about. And this is also where the great moral questions of our day come from. After all, does not the Gospel of Matthew say, look, how you treat the very least of these in our world is how you treat me. There is no other criteria for judgment from God than this. And it's not the question of how we treat our bodies and our relationships, not one about guilt, but one about how sacred each and every one of you are. So therefore, you should treat your body and your relationships because they are sacred, and no one should be treated as anything less. And this is also not why greed is such a despicable thing within our world. Just think about this. Not only are you made of stardust, but within you is the very one who formed the stars. And what we make our lives about, what a giant race where we scratch at each other as we try to accumulate trinkets and colorful pieces of paper? Are we not filled with much greater dignity than that? Are we not formed to be something much more wonderful? The ones through whom God enters the world. The ones through whom God works for salvation. But of course, this is not things that are easily grasped. You know, Luther's Reformation was rooted in theology and in scripture. And while everything I'm saying is actually well rooted in our theology and our scripture, I don't think that's what will transform us into reforming people in this age. It's important. But I think we need something much deeper. We need to reclaim our tradition of prayer. Because it is actually prayer's purpose to open us up to God so that we can be transformed by God. So I want to end today with a prayer. Actually, to teach you a way of praying. I'm going to modify something that was taught by Teresa of Avila. It's called the Prayer of Recollection. And so I want to invite all of you to sit with your back straight and your feet on the ground. It's so you don't fall asleep, primarily. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to begin by simply remembering that the Holy Spirit, that is God and Christ, is within you. And if you get distracted, to simply return to this remembering. I want to expand this a bit. I want to invite you to remember a time when you have connected with God in the midst of creation. Whether it's been in the mountains, been in the ocean, been on the plains, or perhaps even in the bread and the wine that come from these places. Now I would like to invite you to again remember that God is within you. And if God is within you, when you open your eyes and look around, where else is God? It is in returning to the sense of God's presence amongst us, God's presence in the world and God's action amongst us, that I believe that our Reformation will continue. And we may continue to be the church that proclaims God's grace within all things. Amen.